We tend to think of going up as getting better. There are many sayings that have become cliché, such as climbing the social ladder, coming up in the world, hitch your wagon to a star. The Bible has much to say about us living above the world. Before I go into the scriptures for today, I'm reading a devotion from our daily bread, and it's entitled Higher Ground. And I'm looking at our spiritual life. Like the point in this story. And I'm praying that you'll get the gist and that I'm clear enough so you kind of see what I'm trying to say. A pilot was flying over the Arabian desert and landed at an oasis to refuel his plane. After taking to the air again, he was soon over a mountainous area when he heard a scratching noise behind him. It sounded as if some animal had gotten into the fuselage of the plane. He became quite alarmed, for he knew if an animal gnawed away at the electrical wiring, it could cause a serious malfunction. But there was no place to land in that rugged territory. Then the pilot had an idea. He accelerated the plane, nosed it upward, higher and higher into the sky. He took it way up until the gnawing and the scratching ceased. Later, when he landed at an airport, he found a huge desert rat had crawled in unnoticed when he had refueled at the oasis. But the unwanted stowaway was dead. Accustomed as it was to the desert, it could not live when the plane climbed to higher altitude. And so it is with our spiritual life. The higher we go with Jesus, the more that sin and evil dies in our life. James 4:8, we put to death sinful ways. Colossians 3:5, the old patterns of life cannot survive. In order to go higher with Jesus, you must set your heart and mind on things above. I'm hoping that you will consider your earthly nature and the sin that would so easily beset you as a dirty desert rat. Realizing that as you go higher in Christ, that dirty desert rat will die off. Are you pressing on the upward way? Are you gaining new heights every day? You know, we sing that song, but do we listen to the words? And in our own lives, do we apply them? Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We have to learn to live outwardly the things Christ has put within by his Holy Spirit. You've been raised with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You've been elevated to a higher way of life. The only way that that happens is if you've been born again. And I look around and I believe that I'm talking to Christians, that you know what it is. You've been raised in Christ. And Paul, when he's writing this to the Christians at Colossae, they are being led into false teachings and into allowing themselves to backslide and to do things that God is not pleased with. And when he writes this in the third chapter, that's where he's going. We'll go back and you can look, if you've opened your Bibles, to chapter 2, verse 8, and I don't have it on the slides. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And it seemed to be very easy, and it seems to be very easy today for people to depend on worldly views and to feel like even though they're Christians, they can live as society lives. No, no. And society is worldly, of the world, and quite often of the devil. Paul continues on in chapter 2, and he explains some of the errors that they're being led to believe and to act on. And if you're interested, you could go back this week and look at that. And I've taken you to chapter 3, where he explains how we as Christians are to overcome these false doctrines. And I love that in God's Word. When he tells us to do something, he tells us how. He tells us why. He begins with, since you have been raised in Christ. In other words, since you're a Christian, since you've been raised from sin and eternal death, there is a higher standard of life for you than what you see back there. Set your heart. He says, set your heart. It means to look for, to seek out, to try to obtain, to desire to possess, to strive for things above. In other words, set your heart is not going to be always easy. You're going to have to strive for it. You're going to have to work at it. The King James says, set your affection on things above. So we are responsible to direct our heart to the things of God, not of the world. And it's going to take effort in your part to do that. In order to go higher with Jesus, you've got to set not only your heart, but your mind, your thinking on things above. Your ambitions, your attitudes, the whole way that you live needs to be centered on Jesus. He's seated with God in a higher place, and we have to set our thinking on things above, not on things of this earth. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we died to self. We died to self and we're now risen with Christ. Jesus became our life, our whole life. In him we live and breathe and have our being. He's everything. We have eternal life now in him. And when he comes again, we will live with him in glory. So in all of that that I read, you know, there is direction, instruction for our life. The promise of eternity, glory with him. Set your mind means to rein it in. Curb your thinking so it's on things above. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, every one of us think whatever we want to think. And a lot of times what we're thinking is not all that good. He said, it's up to you to set your mind on things above. You cannot allow your mind to go to places it's not supposed to go. You are what you think. Set your mind only on Jesus. Set your heart, set your desires, your mind, your thinking, your actions, your feelings. And now the wording gets even stronger because besides him telling us to set our hearts in our minds only on him, he goes on verses 5 through 10, chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The King James says to mortify these things. Either way, kill them. Do you get the idea that a lot of responsibility is on you from God? You got to do it. Mortify. That word means to subdue, deaden. The NIV says put to death. What does God leave you to do after he's forgiven your sins? Your earthly nature. We talked about that last week. We saw what it got us. The nature you inherited from Adam. We refer to it as our Adamic nature. We're to take on the nature of Christ, and in doing that, we have to kill ourselves, put to death our ungodly ways. You might feel like most of these don't really apply to you or don't affect you, but I'm challenging you this morning to check your heart, to check your mind, and to check your life, how you live. Make sure that you are not letting any of these dirty desert rats live in your life. They can gnaw away at your wiring with Jesus and cause you to crash. You get the picture? Sexual immorality. I heard a preacher on the radio say, call sin, sin. People aren't having an affair. They're committing adultery. Plain and simple. Just because the world has accepted sinful living as the norm, we must not do so. We must not do so. Not as Christians. We're to put sin to death in our lives. We've got to make the effort and do it, folks. Get rid of impurity. Watch out. If you're fooling around with impurity, that could go a lot of ways, but I especially think of pornography because people get into it when no one else is looking. But God is looking. Lust, of course, that leads to lust. Evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. If you're greedy, you worship money or possessions more than God. We as Christians have got to watch ourselves. It's very easy because we have to earn money to live. And we have to have homes, this or that, vehicles. It's very easy to get caught up in the worldly thinking is yours has got to be better. Yours has got to be better. Yours has got to be better. Somebody else got something really good. You want something really good. Be careful you don't get caught up in that. The Living Bible says, don't worship the good things of life. God knows all of these sins lurk in our sinful nature. They're there. They're there. And we have to fight against them. We have to take the initiative to kill them, get rid of them, mortify them in order to go higher. Sin can't live in a higher atmosphere. As you go higher, go to higher ground with the Lord, sin will die off in your life. I ought to hear an amen. Haven't you at all in your Christian life gone higher at some time? Haven't you noticed that sin dropped off, died off, that you became a better Christian. Amen. Amen. Verses 6 through 9 again. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You are trying to put on the nature of Christ, and He is helping you do that. And you've got to really make the effort to put to death those things of your earthly nature, and this is your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And because of these, if they're left to wreck ruin in your life, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You know, there's coming a day that God is sick and tired of man's sins. His wrath is going to be poured out on this world. We pray for America. We love our country, but we know our country is just full of sin and evil. God will judge. He says, because of our earthly natures yielding to all of these things, and we see it everywhere, His wrath is coming. And He says, you used to walk in this way, the life that you once lived. And we did. We know we did. But now we must rid ourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Means you've chosen to live a life away from sin. But because man has chosen to live in sin, God's going to pour out His wrath. He will not always stand for it. We used to live and act in all of these sinful ways. Now we have to seek higher ground. I want to live above this world. I want to. You want to? Now we have to set our affections, the things we want and the things that we think, the things that we do. We've got to put them on godly things, things of the Lord. You know, Jesus died to rid us of wicked lifestyles, and we owe it to Him. We owe it to Him. We do. He gave His life for us to cleanse us of all of that. And we need to press towards the mark of the prize of our high calling. Paul continues the list of lifestyles we need to get rid of. Anger. You have a problem with anger? Rage. Malice. Slander. Filthy language. And lying. God is very gracious. If you're trying, He's helping. We find that these things do not just all die very easily. We have to keep stepping on the accelerator and forcing to go higher to get them to die off. You don't sit around waiting for the Holy Spirit to straighten you out. He's working on you. He's convicting you. He's helping you. He'll give you the power. But you have to make the effort. If you notice this wording that He gives you, set your minds on things above. You set your hearts. You put to death. You have to do this. You have to make that stand. I will not be angry. I will not have rage. God help me. God help me. God help me. And he does. But we have got to be the one that opens our life to him and are willing to go there. When we sing the song, Higher Ground, the second verse says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. This should be our prayer, our cry. Help me, God, to straighten out. Help me, Lord, to get rid of these things, to kill them, to set my mind and my heart on you. If we truly mean that, we cannot be thinking, well, I see other Christians and, you know, it doesn't seem to bother them, and they still working and doing stuff for God, and, you know, be careful. Don't slip back into that. You might think it's not a problem for you to have a temper. Go ahead and go in your concordance and see what God has to say about anger. Just do that. If you got a problem with it, that's a good place to go to help get rid of it. Sure. You might say, I don't think that slander or malice, that's what I'm doing when I spread gossip. I just like to know what's going on. And other people like to know what's going on. Believe you me, the older people get, the more they want to know what's going on. I should hear an amen. Pay attention that God speaks to you. Don't get caught up in malice. You can hurt people really bad. Put to death any and all things in your life that fall into these categories. Verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. In other words, folks, you put on, you've taken off the old life. You left it at the old. Now you have to put on. I love this. Your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of your creator. Christian life is growing, always. He says, you put it on. You're continually putting on Christ for your life. Don't get discouraged when you hear a message like this. God is just telling you, you know, once again, wake up and put on. Be mindful that you are the one that's putting on the Christ-like nature. You're the one that's getting rid. And he says, you grow in this knowledge. It'll be renewed in you. And that's what he's doing to us today. He's renewing in us the knowledge of what we need to be doing to grow in him and to have his nature, not our human nature, but Christ's nature in us. Closer we draw in our relationship to the Lord, the more that we'll leave the world behind. Hallelujah. Put on compassion. Verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, here's what you're going to put on. Holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Put on compassion. Show pity, tenderness to the suffering and the miserable people in the world. kindness. Let your life show goodness and graciousness. When you're good to people, when you're kind to them, they sense Jesus in your life. You know, all the things that he said to stay away from, to get rid of, die out when you center your heart and life and your prayers to God for these things. You know, compassion and goodness and graciousness and kindness, good to people. To the pagan world Paul was living in, humility and gentleness were not thought of as virtues. And I sometimes think in our society, humility is not honored very much. You know, it just seems like people want to brag about being mean, you know, or getting their own way, shoving others aside. But with God, humility is big. And he wants us to be that way. These are the noblest of Christian virtues. Pride and self-assertiveness have no place in a Christian life. We have to be careful with that. We're to show patience, self-restraint that enables us to bear injury and insult without resorting to retaliation. And the fact that God's word says bear with each other lets you know that you're going to have to bear with each other. Hello, folks. You're so quiet. I would like to know that you agree with what I'm saying. Bear with each other. That word bear means put up with, endure. And if you've served the Lord any amount of time, you know that there are Christians that you just have to endure. Amen, sister. You have to work in ministry with them and keep praying to have a right spirit and an attitude. Now, you know, when I say you have to bear with others and you say amen, you might be referring to me. That's okay. You know? It's okay to say amen, even if it pertains to me. Because God's talking to me too. Because, you know, other people have to pray to bear with me. I know that. And it's a good thing, really, because the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. So it's a good thing not everybody does. Thank you. One way I've found to help bear with others is to actually put up with them and to love them. And I've over and over asked God, put love in my heart. Put love in my heart. I'm saying that a prayer right now for about a person that, you know, I'm having to bear with. And this person is unsaved. And she's our neighbor and she's been unkind to us. And God spoke to my heart, you know. You want to be bitter. You want to have malice. You want to retaliate. But I want you to love her into the kingdom. The only way that you're going to win her to Christ is to love her. It's not always easy, folks. It's just not. And I'm with you. I know it's just not always easy. Pray and ask the Lord, fill your heart with love for them. That love makes it possible to forgive any grievances you might have against another. As God gives you love for people, you're more able to bear with them, to put up with them, and you're always going to be amazed at the good feeling that you have as a Christian because you have made that step and gone higher, killed some of those bad feelings out of your life. Love makes it all possible. And you put on love. And I ended my slides with a dead rat, because those are the things we want dead, right? As we go higher in Christ, these things are going to die. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And also anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. They'll die as we go higher. Do you want to live above this world? Amen. New heights we're gaining every day. Remember, folks, it's a growing process. Don't go home today and beat yourself up. Praise the Lord for as far as you've come in Him, and ask Him for the strength and the love to go higher. Would you stand as we close in prayer?